This is PFW in Progress.
Here's a nice piece of shit.
PFW in Progress.
Shit, poop again. He called the shit poop.
This is the best night of my life.
With Red Kirsch.
Sugar!
Paul Perillo.
Where's my snack pack? You've got a banana. You don't need no snack pack. You know I like snack packs. Why can't you just give me a snack pack?
And Andy. And Andy?
Whoa. Part of the story I don't like is that the little boy gave up looking for Happy after an hour. That little boy's got a thing. You got a pet. You got a responsibility.
Andy Hart.
If your dog is lost, you don't look for an hour and then call it quits. You get your ass out there and you find that dog.
Some guy named Tom.
I am the smartest man alive!
And you never know, Rory might stop by.
Oh, I want to touch the hiney.
PFW in Progress.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response, were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought? Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
All right, and welcome to PFW in Progress. Fred Kirsch and Tom Casale here. All we're doing it, just the two of us, a sit-down version this week.
Yeah, Paul, is he still drying out in Peabody?
Yeah, I think so. He's on a canoe somewhere.
He actually had called for this day off a while ago, yeah. But he lives up in Peabody, and I don't know.
Yeah,
we have people from all over the world listening. We had some 2 weeks of rain here and severe flooding up in his area. And as
really
you can
bad.
Hear, Doug Flutie's still doing his press conference.
We will announce that in a little
still
bit.
Going on.
Still going on. Yeah.
That's kind of the way I wanted to do
so
to
he
do
it announced his retirement. What was it, yesterday?
No, it was Monday.
Monday.
Retiring thing.
He's still addressing the crowd.
And
every once in a while, we'll peek into Doug and see how
back
his
me, it's been 21
farewell
years,
press
right?
conference is going.
I mean, I've had more fun and enjoyment out of this game than
okay, that's Doug Flutie still announcing his retirement here at Gillette Stadium. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address. webradio@patriots.com. Got a lot to talk about. Doug Flutie retiring is probably one of the topics.
Love playing football.
Talk
I love
about.
Competing. Whether you know all of you that know me, the basketball and whatnot.
And Tom, you're alarmed,
and it's still a game to me.
I'm very alarmed.
You're alarmed that there is talk of Flutie for the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
And I have a big problem with it.
You have a big problem with
it. Big
that.
Problem with it.
Okay.
First of all, he had only one good NFL year where he threw 20 touchdown passes. And
I'm stunned.
He was so good that he was benched before the playoff game with Tennessee. That's how good he was.
Well, he shouldn't have.
But I'm just saying.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not like this guy had an average NFL career. Now, people talk about the CFL. And I think when you talk about the CFL, then you got to start, you're opening up a whole new can of worms. Now, there's a player by the name of Damon Allen, who's Marcus Allen's brother, okay? He's one of only three people to have thrown for over 60,000 yards in his career. Doug Flutie is not one of them. Warren Moon is one, and I believe Marino is the other. I'm not positive, but he's one of three. He has over 340 passing TDs, a CFL record. He's won four Grey Cups to Flutie's three. At age 41 last season, he was named the MVP, or the most outstanding player of the CFL. So if you're letting Flutie in based on Pro Football Hall of Fame numbers, what about this guy?
Right.
You don't even mention him.
You gotta let him in?
There's a guy that Flutie mentioned at his press conference, Alan Pitts, best receiver ever to play in the CFL. I'm going to give you his numbers. In 11 seasons, 966 receptions, 14,891 yards, and 117 TDs. Now, in comparison, Michael Irvin, who's on the fence but is up for Hall of Fame induction, 750 receptions, 200 less, 11,904 yards, 3,000 less, 65 touchdowns, 50 less.
Right.
So if we start letting guys like Flutie in,
right.
then we got to start considering these people. And you can't compare him to Warren Moon because Warren Moon was a top NFL quarterback for a decade.
Right.
So I'd like to hear the people who think, if anyone out there, now I believe 97% of the Boston fans don't think Flutie should be in the Hall of Fame.
Right.
But if you're one of the 3% who does, I want you to write in your argument, but also consider my argument, because if you think Flutie should be in, then I would have to believe you would endorse Damon Allen being in, since he has better numbers than Doug
right.
Flutie.
And I think, you know, the Pro Football Hall of Fame, you know, the way they look at it is, look, if you're that good, you should be playing in the NFL.
Right.
And, you know, even though there are other pro football leagues around, the best of the best play in the NFL. And unless you play there, how can you be compared to the best?
Right.
Unless you're playing against the
best.
And
I don't like to hear that Doug Flutie never got a chance. I would argue that he did get a chance only because he was Doug Flutie. What about guys like Alan Pitts, who tore it up in the CFL? He never got a chance because he never threw the Hail Mary at Boston College.
Right.
So I would argue that Flutie's name actually helped him play in the NFL, even though he was nothing more than average.
You know, Patriots fans should spend more of their energy trying to get Gino Cappelletti in.
Exactly.
I mean, here's a guy who, you know, gets really the fact that he played in the AFL before
Thanks,
the
man.
Merger and did most of
while.
His work for the Boston Patriots when they stunk. That's really held against him. But at one point, when you talk about pro football, of all pro football players, he was number 10 on the all-time scoring list,
right.
You know, at one point. Now, I'm sure that's not the case anymore. That was about 4 or 5 years ago. But, you know, I would say he's more eligible for the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
And
thanks,
Fred, you make a good point about the AFL. I think one of the reasons they called it the Pro Football Hall of Fame was because of AFL
right.
statistics. Now we're starting to add. I mean, where does it end? Arena? You
right.
know what I mean?
It's pro football.
It's pro football. So you have to draw the line somewhere.
World League? NFL Europe?
Right. If Doug Flutie gets to the Hall of Fame, Drew Bledsoe and Vinny Testaverde are going to want an answer.
Yeah.
Because they're
yeah.
going to say, what about us? We did it at the highest level, and we're not in.
You know, and no disrespect to the Canadian League, but it's the
no,
Canadian
it's
League.
It's a different brand of football. Like I told you before we went on the air, Michael Bishop is a starter in Canada, and he's actually pretty good. Now, that's fine. That's Michael Bishop's type of game up there. It's made for him, and I salute him, but he can't play in the NFL.
Right.
Case closed.
Baseball, is that the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame, or is it just the Baseball Hall of Fame?
Are you kidding me? Baseball's not letting anybody in.
I'm just saying, like for example, somebody that tears it up in the Japanese League.
No, they're not getting in.
Yeah.
The baseball's really strict. They don't mess around with the Hall of Fame. That's
right.
One thing I'll give baseball. When it comes to tradition, they don't mess around. Their Hall of Fame voting is very tough. And, you know, I'll admit that I don't personally like Doug Flutie, but when we talk about something like this, I look at it, you know, objectively. I'm not saying that just because I personally don't really care for him. I just think if you let Doug Flutie in, you're opening up a huge can of worms, and now a ton of people will have an argument.
Well, I think it was kind of thrown out there. I don't know if it was the Globe. One of them did a Warren Moon Doug Flutie comparison, saying, you know, just kind of bringing it up, and you know, Patriots fans kind of jumped on it, but I don't think any reasonable football
right.
fan could.
Right, and Warren Moon was a top five NFL quarterback for a decade.
Right.
And Doug Flutie was never a top five NFL quarterback.
But it's nice that Doug was allowed or able to retire as a Patriot. He's definitely a local legend.
And I think he got the most out of his career.
Absolutely.
When you look at a guy that small to do what he did in Canada and the NFL, I don't think there's any shame in what he did. He got the most out of his talent. If he was a few inches taller, we'd probably be talking about a first ballot Hall of Famer, no doubt about it.
I mean, this is a guy who always reminded me of, he loves it, and you know, he says he loves playing sports. I don't care what it is. But when he's out there, it's almost like it's schoolyard ball. You know, and he's just having fun out there.
He brought up an interesting thing at his press conference about calling his own plays.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people believe the NFL is hurt because they don't let quarterbacks call more of their plays. And when you look over the last, like, 20 years, a couple of the quarterbacks that have called their own plays, Jim Kelly, Peyton Manning, Kurt Warner did it somewhat in St. Louis. Now you're talking about three of the most prolific offenses that we've seen in the last couple of decades. So maybe there's almost seemed like mad that quarter, like, because he, to me, it sounded like he had a lot more fun playing in Canada than he did here. I don't know if you got that.
Right.
And then we put
that dropkick in for me to do, kind of threw the fun back into the game. And to me, what the game is all
about. He made a good point, though,
about
calling his own plays, because he's on the field and he has a feel for what is working and what isn't. And I think part of the NFL taking all that control away from the quarterback has hurt it somewhat, especially your smarter quarterbacks like a Tom Brady, you know, your Aikmans, guys who get by more on smarts than pure athletic ability.
Right. I think you're right, but I still think I like having the combination of the coordinator or whoever it is calling the plays with the quarterback. I think that combination working right will always beat a quarterback calling his own plays.
But I think it depends on who you have, and I'll give you an example. Do you ever notice Vinny Testaverde does a lot better in a two-minute drill than he does during a game?
That's true, but I run a two-minute drill for the whole game.
Well, he did it in Baltimore under Ted Marchabrota and had two of the best years of his career.
Yeah, but at the end, when you come up against the good defense that knows how to game plan for you, you're going to lose. You're going to lose. It happens to Manning. It happens to Warner. It happens to...
Yeah, but you're talking about a couple of players that actually have a chance to call some of their own plays. There's some teams that don't allow quarterbacks to call their own plays at all. That's the problem I'm having with it. I'm not saying every quarterback should go out there and just pretend it's a schoolyard. You know, I'm just talking about giving quarterbacks the options to call some of their own plays when they feel like things are going on in a game that they can exploit. Bill Walsh did with Joe Montana.
And I would think that, you know, if a quarterback feels strongly about that, he should speak up, and I think a coordinator should listen to him.
Right. Now, I'm not saying Alex Smith should go out there and call his own plays.
Right.
But if Tom Brady sees something,
I'm pretty
comfortable that he knows what's going on.
I'm sure that happens from time to time. Other news, Patriots news, reports are that Ty Law, it was confirmed by his agent that he was in town for a physical administered by the Patriots.
That was totally taken out of context.
While that is not a sign that they may be any closer to signing him than they were before, I look at it as a positive thing.
Yeah,
I
know. Let me ask you something.
Tennessee and Kansas City are also in the mix.
That's what I wanted to ask you. You know Ty Law a lot better than I do. Could this be a ploy by him to kind of use the Patriots saying, yeah, I would consider this, blah, 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 have him bring him in for a physical so these other teams start getting nervous and ante up a little bit?
Well,
could he be using this maybe as leverage because he knows that maybe he's close, really close?
Well, it has to be a mutual thing. I mean, the Patriots aren't going to agree to doing it.
I'm saying maybe he's telling them things that they want to hear.
Possibly.
Because he knows he's close to signing a contract somewhere else, and he's trying to get $1 or $2 million more out of him.
Possibly. That's a possibility.
Just from the type of player, the person you guys talk like that he is. I just
want to put it past his agents, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, they're not... shy about putting out information there if they think it'll help their client.
Because I would just be surprised if the Patriots were offering a lot of money, and you would have to figure that some of these other teams were offering more. So it would be interesting if he did sign here.
Well, you know, and to the Patriots, you know, I can see the Patriots saying, look, see what you can do with Kansas City, see what you can do with Tennessee. Here's our offer.
Right.
If you want to come, let's get the physical part out of the way so we can work quickly. You know, so we don't have to wait for that part of it anyway.
That would be a huge addition.
I think it would be great. You know, I think it would be awesome. I think you put him there. You know, I don't know what the status of Rodney Harrison is. If somehow I'd still like to add one more veteran body in the linebacking core.
Right, because you have to worry about an injury at the linebacking position.
Once you do that, I think we're ready to go. Yeah. We're ready to go. I want to see what these wide receivers can do, Caldwell and obviously Chad Jackson. You know, but assuming they can do okay, I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
You know, you got Lawrence Maroney. I think the line is you know,
they're looking.
We hear
good.
That Matt Light is healthy, and you know if he comes back healthy. I think they're pretty solid.
Yeah, a couple of things I noticed at minicamp, Fred, was Chad Jackson.
Well, we're going to talk about that, too, because you were there.
Catches absolutely everything thrown his way. His hands are like big suction cups. The only problem I saw with him is that he's so fast that sometimes he has trouble in his breaks, like he slips or trips in his breaks.
Was it humid in the... Because it was outside, it was raining.
Yeah, I just...
So that it, just, I've played on that surface. And,
right.
And it does get slick.
I just think he's running too fast into his breaks. He just needs to do a little bit more fluid. You know, like a Keenan McCardle and Rod Smith aren't the fastest guys in the world. But that can all be fixed.
Sure.
But as far as hands go, I mean, anything in the dome, he was snagging down. Dave Thomas, phenomenal. just a fluid pass catcher, caught everything thrown his way. Nobody on that field could cover him. So you're looking at guys now, young, fast, athletic guys you added to the offense. And I'll say something about the offensive linemen. I think Belichick might be switching a little bit from those lighter technique type guys, because those dudes they brought in this year, those are some big guys.
Well, I mean, O'Callaghan's huge.
Hand was huge. Bartholomew from Virginia.
Bartholomew.
Because I've been in the Patriots locker room last year, and these are much bigger guys than like a Dan Copen or a Stephen Neal.
Right.
That's
okay. Russ writes in from Canton, says that Law had a physical in Tennessee last week as well. So, you know, for whatever that's worth. I'm sure Kansas City gave him a physical as well. You know, the big thing with that Law, forget about the Lisfranc injury. It looks like he had come back from that, but he's always had a tendency to put on weight. From the time he came with the Patriots, Parcells, who was his first coach, said, this is a guy we always have to weigh almost every day, because if you don't keep on top of him, he will gain weight. And he did look like, you know, he was playing at a heavier weight last year with the Jets and was compensating for that for just his ball instincts and knowing where to be.
Right.
But
Herm Edwards isn't really one of those coaches who stays on top of you.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Kansas City's draft, didn't they draft a cornerback pretty high in Kansas City?
No.
I thought there were a couple things that they did leading up to the draft and the draft that would say, they may not be interested in Ty Law anymore.
No, they drafted the safety, Bernard Pollard.
Okay.
But he's more of a Rodney Harrison, Roy Williams, hard-hitting type guy.
So you still see a need in Kansas
City?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. They definitely still have a need for a corner.
Okay. And then as far as Tennessee goes, I think they have a need for
most things, so...
All right. Well, I'm hoping that he comes back. I think it would be great. Again, I think it would help the Patriots. It would really solidify that backfield. Also, I want him to retire as a Patriot. You know, I want Ty Law to go out as a Patriot.
Yeah, well, then the weird thing about Tennessee would be, and that obviously would be purely for the money, because Kansas City and New England are in positions to make runs at titles, you know, with a couple of pieces here and there, and if everything falls their way during the season.
Right.
Tennessee would need a whole heck of a lot to fall their way to compete for a Super Bowl. So
they gotta figure out who's going to be their quarterback.
That would be the case where he just takes the money and runs.
All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Justin Patterson, who was one of our frequent emailers from Alaska, came in on Monday.
Yep. Brought his presents.
And I gave him a tour. We thank you for the presents.
Is he back in Alaska now?
I guess. He came, unfortunately.
Yeah, poor guy came. The worst weather in 70 years.
They had Red Sox tickets. They got rained out. Mm-hmm. But he got a nice little tour here. I took him all over the place. Up in the press box, down in the service area. Took him all over. Down in the production studio in our area, so he got a pretty good tour of the state and took him out to the field and ended him up in the pro shop.
Right, and as usual, I was the only one here working, so he didn't get to meet Paul and Andy.
Right, Paul and Andy were out. But Justin writes in, he says, enjoyed the Paul and Andy show last week. Looking forward to Court TV's coverage of the Baranski versus Paul and Andy show after the topics covered. Can the sound guy, Gary, play Lori's quote one more time? He knows which one.
You do join Dick for a little while.
Okay, well, I heard once that happened...
you do join Dick for a little while.
You know, things broke down last week. So.
Yeah. What was that for?
Join Dick for a little while.
You know, there's a guy... Okay.
There's a guy named Richard on their tour.
Oh. Okay. So
you do join Dick for a little while.
So that's when things broke down, I guess.
I can imagine that comment with Andy sitting here.
I leave you guys alone for 1 week, and that's what happens. So, but he has a question. I assume the Patriots have retired numbers. I know we don't have a Ring of Honor, so are there any plans for one? I assume that 2014, 56, 78 have been retired. Is that correct? 14 has not.
14 is not.
Grogan's number is not retired. What do you think the odds are that 4 and 12 will ever be worn again? Well, 4 is going to be worn.
Hell no.
12 isn't.
12 may not.
That I can guarantee you.
Well, you know, there are plans for some type of Ring of Honor and or Patriots Museum. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of development that's going to happen here. One of the things that it will include is a Patriots Museum. So I assume they'll have jerseys or retired numbers up there. But I think as a team, they're trying to make it harder to retire the number because you just run out of numbers in football.
Right.
There's just so
if
many
you're
guys.
You're not going to retire Brady's number.
And I think there's some guys like, you know, Nick Bonacani, his number's retired. I don't think it should be.
Right, exactly.
You know,
some teams go a little crazy. We were in Kansas City. Remember, they have like six rows of number of these players retired, and some guys played like 2 years.
Yeah.
And I don't know if their number's retired, but they're in like the Ring of Honor.
Yeah, the Ring of Honor.
Like, but they played like 1 or 2 years there. How good could they have been?
Denver has a Ring of Honor. And I think that the Patriots should scrap, you know, personally, I think they should scrap the numbers, release all the numbers, and just have a Ring of Honor with the names. Because in football, you need those numbers.
I understand, but, Fred.
Maybe John Hanna.
But I'm just, all I'm saying is, if Brady wins another Super Bowl, like, just think of it this way. If you were watching the San Francisco 49ers play and you were a fan, could you imagine seeing someone wear 16?
Oh, I know.
But that's what I'm saying. I think you got to make an exception every now and then.
Well, okay, so.
And a guy like Brady, if he continues to have the career he's had so far, it'd be awful hard for Patriots fan to ever see anyone wearing 12 again.
See, here's the problem, though. You've got all these numbers that are already retired, okay? You can't take them out of retirement, you know? But I would like to. I would like to scrap it all and start from scratch. And then, you know, you're talking Tippett. You know, maybe Bruce Armstrong.
This is Andre Tippin. That's not what I'm looking for.
You know, perennial Pro Bowler, John Hanna, of course, and maybe Mike Haynes. And then, you know, when Brady retires, definitely. Maybe even Ty Law. You know, but, you know, to add to what they've already got, it's tough.
Well, I think
but,
you can add one more. 12 is okay.
Yeah, 12. Yeah, I think so. But, you know, that's...
Quarterbacks, you only carry three quarterbacks. They'll find plenty of numbers for
them. Yeah, but there's a lot of numbers there that, you know, Jim Lee Hunt, great player in his day. Bob D. Great player in his day, but I would say that 70% of the fans don't even know who those guys are.
Right.
Their numbers are retired. You know, Nick Bonacani, he's a Dolphin.
Right.
You know, he started his career here, played, I think, 8 years with the Patriots, maybe less than 8 years, and then really had a success as a Dolphin. They retired his number. Great player.
I got to be honest with you, Fred. I thought you were talking about him as a Dolphin. I didn't even know he played here.
Yeah. So. He started his career as a Patriot, and his number is retired as a Patriot.
Oh.
It shouldn't be.
Apparently, they've retired way too many numbers.
Yeah. That's a problem I have across the board with a lot of... You know, even the Celtics, way too many numbers retired, you know.
It should only be for the select few greats, get once every 20 years
as
player.
As much as, you know, the Red Sox do a lot of things wrong, they do it right when it comes to retiring numbers. And, you know, I think they made an exception to their own when they retired Carlton Fisk's. They have four numbers retired, and that's really all they should be, you know. Although I think did Fisk get into the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, well, because that's really kind of always been one of the criteria. If you're not in the Baseball Hall of Fame, we're not going to retire your number, you know.
No, it should be like that. You should have to be one of the few stars that the organization has ever had.
It's got
to
be. Now, Ring of Honor with the names, put them in, you know. Steve Grogan, get him in there. Steve Nelson, get him in there. But when you talk about retiring numbers, that's a little bit. Anyway... here are some true and false. This is from Justin Still.
And having fun doing it. And that's been my approach.
Doug is still up at the podium.
The way I've approached this game.
True or false, Tom? If Flutie comes back this year, he'd be a Patriot.
False.
Well, he's not coming
I'm just a big kid.
Ty Law will be a Pat before September 10th.
I'm still going to go false, but it's getting closer.
Okay. If Ty Law is a Pat this year, it will be at the cost of his family's nourishment.
True.
True. Marcus Vick, signed by Miami as a wide receiver, will get more face time on America's Most Wanted than as the Dolphins' wide receiver.
True.
Russ Hochstein will be our starting center on September 10th.
True.
Definitely talking about the health of Dan Copen.
I'm gonna go true.
Fred will be vindicated when on 12/01 on June 1st, no less than 20 highly productive veteran free agents will be cut.
faults.
I said nothing about June 1st.
I've already gone through all the teams, and I couldn't come up with a list of five. So,
yeah,
it's going to be a very, very the June 1st day is, I think you pointed out, or maybe it was Paul, it's less and less important every year because the way contracts are being structured now.
Right.
You don't get penalized. They've learned how to structure contracts so you can get rid of these guys when you want, you know, not June 1st. It's too late.
My thing about guys becoming available who aren't necessarily available now has nothing to do with June 1st. I still hold to it, though.
And one of the guys that was thought to maybe be available, Jimmy Smith, just retired.
Well, he retired. But so I'm thinking more defense than I'm looking for right now. Maybe a wide receiver. But Smith, now there's rumors that he may have been suspended if he didn't retire.
Yeah. So. That's interesting because he did abruptly retire out of nowhere.
Yeah. And then it's week 16. You need to win to get into the playoffs. It's on the road in Buffalo. It's 20 degrees and clear. There's 3:15 left in the fourth quarter. You are on the Pats 20. You've ran for 54 yards today, passed for 120, mainly screens. Brady's gone down. Who do you send in during their prime? 1, Michael Bishop. 2, Scott Zolak. 3, Rohan Davey. 4, Josh Miller. 5, Damon Heward. Or 6, Matt Cassel during their prime? I know who I would.
Heward?
That's who I would pick.
Yeah, that's what I would have to go with.
And Zolak number two.
Number two. Those were the two I was trying to decide against. At least they've shown that they can throw a forward pass on occasions. I'd have to go with one of them.
Yeah, I definitely. Okay, good email, and thanks for the visit, Justin, from Alaska. We had a nice... Oh, here's another true or false. This comes from Jason. He says, true or false, the Patriots will bring back a veteran backup quarterback.
I think true.
True. Ty Law, I'm saying true.
It's close. I'm still going to go false because I think he's going to end up taking the money.
Okay. Not counting Ty. Will the Patriots sign or trade for a big-name vet?
A defensive back or at any position?
No, any position.
No, they're done. They've pretty much done everything they needed to do. I think, like you said, they'll be looking for some linebackers that are on the market. But other than that, I think they're pretty set.
Okay, Dan Klecko, Bethel Johnson, and Gus Scott will not make the roster of 53.
True.
Chad Jackson will be the number two receiver.
False.
Who's number two?
To begin the year, it'll be Caldwell. I mean, it's so hard to learn pro offenses.
Yeah.
And he has to, you got to remember, guys like Brady, they look to people that they're more comfortable with. Now, even though Caldwell's new, Brady admitted that he's been throwing with him every day for the past
year. You got to get open.
Yeah.
If you're not open, he's not going to throw it to you.
I think, and it's like I wrote in Ask PFW, I'm afraid the local media is starting to put a little bit too much pressure on Chad Jackson. You get a Randy Moss, Anquan Boldin year very, very rarely, very few times out of a rookie receiver. If this guy comes in and catches 50 balls his rookie season, I'm happy. I'm happy.
Let's see. Light, Copen, and Harrison will not start the year on PUP. Will not start the year on PUP. I'm saying at least one of them will.
Yeah, I think one of them will.
There will be extensions for at least two of these four. Copen, Branch, Samuel, or Graham done before training camp.
False.
Troy Brown will retire before the season starts.
False.
Mike Vrabel will start as inside linebacker.
False.
More than one undrafted free agent will make the roster of 53.
Not of 53, but I think a couple have a good shot at the practice squad.
The Patriot team will be younger on average by a year or more than last year.
Oh, true.
Hobbs and Samuel will be the starting quarterbacks for the team.
Hobbs and that would be true.
There will be a big surprise cut of a vet before training camp.
True.
Who do you think it might be?
Dan Klecko.
I don't know if that's a surprise.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I don't know. It's a
tough one.
I want to see more about this Daniel Graham.
Because they've kind of cut guys already. You know, like Chad Brown, even though he wasn't really on the team.
I'll tell you what. Let's see how Warfield and Tabucky Jones do in training camp. I wouldn't be surprised if one of those guys they brought in ends up getting cut.
Okay. Let's see. Caldwell will be a big surprise in a positive way for the team.
I think true. I think he can eclipse the numbers that Givens had here.
There will be a holdout with at least one draft pick.
a false.
One of the later defensive picks, Mincy, Smith, or Andrews, will be a positive surprise.
True.
Which one do you think?
The
Kevin?
No, I think it's going to be Willie Andrews.
Willie Andrews, not Mincy, the linebacker?
I think Mincy he needs to learn how to play that position. I think Andrews is going to come in and play some nickel and dime and also be a return guy.
More than one of the 10 draft picks will not make the team of 53. More than one.
I'm going to say false.
Yeah.
They all look pretty good.
Which of the 8 Europe players will make the team of 53? God, I don't know. No, he's saying none of the 8 Europe players will make the team of 53.
Unfortunately, I have to say true.
Because you don't think Bubba's going to make it?
I think he's got a shot at practice squad again. That's about it. When I look at the numbers, I look at what kind of position he plays, I just don't see him being on the final roster.
You don't think he could be a special team stalwart?
No, but they already signed so many guys to do what he does. You know what I mean? Like, they signed Mel Mitchell. They signed guys for that. Now, if they didn't go out and sign those guys, then I would be more confident. But
yeah, that's true.
I'd have to say no.
It's too bad. Too bad for Bubba. All right. Gary, let's take a break. We'll come back. We got a lot of emails to get to.
And that's full time. The New England Revolution are your Eastern Conference champions for 2005. What a performance by the Rams.
The New England Revolution are revved up for a return to MLS Cup. As summer heats up New England, the soccer action heats up in Foxborough.
Gillette Stadium explodes.
Don't miss exciting matchups against DC United and Freddie Adu. A Friday night matchup against Real Salt Lake and the New York Red Bulls and Houston Dynamo's first ever appearances in Foxborough. Get to Gillette Stadium for hot soccer action all summer long with the interactive theme park soccer celebration plus free parking all season long. New England Revolution Soccer is an affordable fun day for the whole family. Tickets start at just $18. Call the Revolution Ticket Office today at 1-877-GET-REVS or Ticketmaster at 617-931-2222 to get your ticks, get your kicks, and get the revolution. From sixth-round draft pick in 2000 to three-time Super Bowl champion and two-time MVP, Patriots quarterback Tom Brady has done it all. Until now.
Tom Brady launches a 60-yard.
Tom Brady is 2005 Sports Illustrated Sportsman of the Year. And now you can get an autographed copy of the SI cover personally autographed by the perennial Pro Bowler himself. It's the must-have keepsake for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on the Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, pre-game field passes, memorabilia, merchandise, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Sportsman of the Year Sports Illustrated cover autographed by Tom Brady. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autograph print limited to the first 500 with qualifying purchase. Visit PatriotsExtraPoints.com for details.
Hi, this is Taylor Twoman with your New England Revolution. Learn to play like the pros at Revolution Academy.
Free kick, diving header by Dempsey.
The Revolution Academy is now enrolling for the 2006 season and has designed innovative, challenging, and skill-specific curriculums for all age groups. Learn how to develop your game, see how the pros practice, and even get tickets to see a Revolution match. By the end of the program, you'll have learned the skills to play like a pro.
Oh, now a shot!
The Revolution Academy is coming to Cranston, Swansea, Somerset, Tewksbury, Sudbury, Beverly, Foxborough, Smithfield, Westwood, Marshfield, Bedford, New Hampshire, and Portland. To find a session in a town near you or to register, call 508-384-9242. That's 508-384-9242. Or log on to revolutionsoccer.net and score a goal with the Revolution Academy.
Everybody that knows me, I think that's pretty evident in the fact that people trying to figure out whether
it's
I'm going to retire
though,
or not. Well, my brothers and
I
joined the men's
so
baseball league with my brothers this
sense
spring.
That his press conference
that kind of indicated,
yeah.
And I told them all along, look, when I retire, as long as I can still walk.
Retire. All right. Web radio at patreon.com.
You know
email
about that press conference?
Yeah.
You know what my favorite part was?
What?
Belichick.
Yeah.
He gets up, he says about maybe 90 seconds worth of stuff, then walks right out.
And leaves.
Yeah. It's just not his thing. You know, he doesn't want to sit there and gush over 20 years. He's got work to do.
Got work to do.
Yeah.
But Doug Flutie has retired, local legend, and is
we're
going
to do this. And
but very good move for him.
That's
why
I'm all about
for ESPN
yeah,
and
that's
ABC.
That's great.
I
look
it's
back.
It's going to be great. Maybe get rid of some of those other bozos.
Yes. So. Started out with the USFL. Donald Trump had the opportunity to play with Herschel Walker.
He's just now getting into the USFL, so he hasn't even gotten into the NFL.
But he mentioned Herschel Walker, and I think those guys are kind of similar, because I thought the best college player I've ever seen, and most people agree, is Herschel Walker. And he had, you know, a decent pro career in the USFL, had two or three good years with the Cowboys. But he's not pro football Hall of Fame. He's college football Hall of Fame.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So those two are kind of similar, I think.
Yeah. All right. Got a lot of emails here. I missed Idol last night, not to get off the subject.
Yeah, you missed it. Taylor killed.
Taylor.
Killed.
Wow.
He sang a Joe Cocker song.
Yeah,
killed.
But once Chris is off, I don't know what to think now. I'm all screwed up.
You know, I wasn't as in love with Chris as some people were. I thought he had a good voice. I think 150,000 other people can sing as good as him, and it's just I'm not surprised when anybody gets voted off, because I still think they're not great singers. I think they're pretty good singers.
Yeah.
And I think Taylor, he nailed it. He started something different. He started jiving around, and people took to it. And what you got to do is, it doesn't really matter about your voice. It matters about getting votes.
Well, that's true. That's true. And I think Catherine has a great career in
Playboy. Yeah, I'll tell you. And I think Chris has a career, too, but I'll tell you where he went wrong with the voters. He didn't get people like my mother.
Yeah.
My mother never knew one song that he sung, because he sang the newer rock songs,
right.
And I think he missed that voting crowd that votes,
yeah.
And that's what hurt him.
I mean, Elliot, I think he's an upset just to get as far as he has.
Yeah, there's always one every year that kind of starts off at the bottom and sneaks
right.
his way up.
And I think he gets the sympathy vote, because he's deaf in one ear and had all those childhood things.
He gets the mother vote that Chris wasn't getting.
Right.
I think that's where it separated.
Yeah, I think when that...
Anything,
that other little chipmunk-looking kid with the glasses got knocked off.
Right.
I think all his voter base went over to Elliot.
Of course, you wouldn't know that Elliot has diabetes, because he doesn't say it publicly. So
you think he should?
Yeah, of course I think he should. You know why? Because it doesn't do a damn bit of good for me to say it, because nobody cares about Tom Casale.
Right.
It's people like Morrison, who play for Gonzaga, who doesn't want to do interviews about it. You know, to me, I think he has a responsibility to the young kids who have diabetes.
But what if he says, you know, I just don't want people to feel sorry for me?
Well, that's fine. He can say it in the interview. I'm just saying, though, when you're 12 years old and you have diabetes, you look up to people
right,
like that.
Right,
you know, Elliot has never come out and said, you know, I have juvenile diabetes. And to me, it just bothers me. So,
how did you know he does?
It was on the radio.
Oh.
That's the only reason I know.
Okay.
So I'm rooting against him.
A lot of people were emailing in. Russ from Canton says, personally, I think the Pats are a Super Bowl contender this year, even with the defections. With that said, I heard John Clayton on Michael Felger's show the other day. They were discussing the Super Bowl contenders in the AFC for the upcoming year. Clayton mentioned the Steelers, Broncos, and Colts as early favorites. I understand the Steelers and maybe the Broncos. I cannot understand the belief that Indy has the most talent in the AFC. Are you kidding me? First, they lost Edgerrin James, Larry Triplett, and David Thornton. Their defense supposedly improved, I think, is average at best. Please tell me why this team continues to be a favorite. I just don't get it.
Well, first let me say that at least one or two teams that nobody is talking about will jump up and surprise for a Super Bowl contention, whether it be the Bengals, whether it be like a team where, like the Chiefs maybe. Someone we're not discussing will compete for the Super Bowl. Having said that, I don't care what John Clayton says. I care what Las Vegas says. And right now, Vegas has the Colts and the Patriots as the two favorites to win the Super Bowl. So the Patriots are getting a lot of respect when it comes to money-wise, and that's the most important thing. The Colts still have a whole heck of a lot of talent. I mean, look at that offense.
Right.
If they can get just 80% of the edges production from Dominic Rhodes and Joseph Addai, they're still good enough to compete. Now, we all know they won't win it because they're a bunch of losers, but what we're talking about is competing, and they're good enough to compete for it.
Well, and they'll win double digits in games, yes, which will get them into the playoffs.
Right.
You just know that's going to happen.
But I'll tell you, the two teams that I would say would have a better chance of falling out are the Broncos and the Steelers. I could see things happening to those teams because those teams win with defense and they play close games, and you know, sometimes if the ball bounces doesn't bounce your way a couple of times during the season, you start going in the opposite direction. Last year, those two teams had things go right for them. The Steelers were, people forget, the Steelers were out of it. Then all of a sudden, boom, right. You know what I mean? They got on a run.
Yeah.
So who says they're not 6-6 again this year and then it doesn't go their way? I would have to say the Colts, simply because they have Manning and talent, and like you said, they'll definitely make the playoffs and then anything can happen, which will be they lose.
Yeah.
But
I mean, the Steelers season last year was very similar to the Patriots 2001 season,
right.
Where
you're right.
A lot of things bounced their way. Right. Then once they got on that roll, you know, they won it with some pretty good defense, adequate quarterback play, you know, which is very similar to how the Patriots won in 2001.
Right, I would say that I agree with Vegas. I would put the Colts and the Patriots as the two favorites. I think the Patriots are better right now than the Broncos or the Steelers.
Yeah. So it's but you're right. There's always a team that no one really figured.
Be someone sneaking around.
They'll sneak up. Who do you think in the AFC might be that team this year? You know, it's not to put you on the spot or anything.
Are we talking like Super Bowl contending team?
Well, team that, you know, right up to the end of the season, everyone's like, they could do it, you know? And they get in the playoffs, maybe they get knocked out.
I'll tell you a team who's going to scare the life out of people that no one's really talking about, who they think they're a couple years away. But I looked at their team, and I don't know if they're as far away as people think. The Cleveland Browns are going to put the fear of God into people.
I was going to say even Cleveland or the Bengals.
Right.
I mean, the Bengals get their act together.
Because I'll tell you, if Cronell, what he did with that defense last year, with the little talent that he had, is amazing. Now, if he gets Fry to play that Brady Roethlisberger role where he doesn't lose games, just makes enough plays to win, and that defense is even more improved, there's nobody who's going to want to play Cleveland as the year goes on.
So, you know, those are two good picks because you know, they're at the edge, both of them.
I'll tell you what, I'll guarantee you the Steelers don't win their division. With Cleveland and Cincinnati in there, I guarantee you they don't win it.
Yeah.
I think they're an overrated team right now. I think they got on a roll last year. I honestly believe if they came to Foxborough, they would have beaten the Patriots because I think they were just playing so good at that point, and the Patriots couldn't run the ball, so they would have just sent the kitchen sink at Tom Brady.
Right.
But if we're talking now, right this second, I think it's no contest. I think the Patriots are in a much better position to win the Super Bowl.
What do you think of Joey Porter saying he's got some things to say to the president? What an idiot.
Apparently Joey Porter has never heard of the Secret Service. They don't like that kind of talk. I mean, it's not the football field. You can't trash talk with the president.
He's never heard of shutting his mouth.
That type of thing bothers me because
I don't care who's in office.
Right.
It doesn't matter.
I respect the office. I didn't like Clinton, and I don't like Bush. But if I was invited along with a team to go to the White House, I would consider an honor, and any political problems I have would stay with me.
Right.
You don't bring them out in that. That's just stupid.
What a fool. All right. Stan the Man writes in, how was camp in general? Was this year's camp stronger than other years, weaker? Did any seem to lag behind and thus might be the first to be cut? What were the surprises, good and bad, of the camp? Any idea of a sleeper of the undrafted free agents who might make the team?
Well, out of the... A sleeper, I'll tell you, I was there and I said, who's number 1 and number 41? And I couldn't get an answer from the PR department because they were invited to camp. Turns out they were the two guys who were signed, Cobbs the running back and Wallace the receiver.
Right.
Those two guys looked pretty good to me. I mean, Wallace is tiny. He would be more of a return.
It's like 5'7", 5'8".
That Cobbs, he showed me something. I really liked his running style. He caught the ball well out of the backfield. I thought he was the second best back there besides Maroney, obviously.
Huh.
The thing I noticed most about camp, and I wasn't here last year, so I'm not good, I can't compare, was the offense. I mean, just the speed on offense. These guys looked, I mean, like I said, Dave Thomas, Chad Jackson, they look polished. They look like they can come in and contribute. Garrett Mills had a little rougher time of it. I think he's more of a project than the other two.
Really?
But those guys, I mean, Thomas looked like he'd been running routes for 20 years. There wasn't a player on that field. When I say they couldn't cover him, I mean, they weren't even near him.
Hmm.
He was making people look stupid out there.
Wow. He's that crisp.
When they compared him to Jay Novacek, I thought they were doing it again just because he's white and they like to compare white people.
Right.
But honestly, that's who he reminds me of because he doesn't look like he's running fast, but he just runs so smoothly these routes that people are flopping all over the place trying to cover him. And if you get the ball anywhere near him, he just sucks it right in.
First impression of seeing Maroney, you know, with these guys, is there a distance that, you know, there's Maroney and then there's all the other running backs or guys out of the backfield.
Well,
is it that apparent?
It was kind of hard to tell in the drills I saw. I was very impressed with his ability to catch the football. Now, the one problem he had that I saw was he didn't separate well. A lot of the linebackers were right near him, but he did snag the ball with his hands, which I thought was impressive. So I think he needs to do a better job of getting open.
Yeah.
Because he's just not used to, they didn't throw him the ball a lot. But as far as his hands go, I thought they were, you know, he did really well. And like I said, that Cobbs played well too in the drills I saw. I didn't see a whole lot of them yet. We'll have to wait till training camp. But
right.
It was funny because of the two numbers I asked Stacy and Casey, or PR guys
right.
for, that they wouldn't give me, were the two guys that they signed.
Right.
So apparently the coaching staff was impressed with them too.
And impressed with the size of the offensive linemen.
Yeah, big
right.
guys,
yeah.
quick guys. I mean, very light on their feet. Because, you know, the Patriots kind of use the smaller lineman type theory.
Right.
Where, and I read somewhere this offseason where Belichick actually said he wanted to beef up the line a little bit. And it looks like to me that he's beefed it up because these guys are, I mean, that hand is just a mountain of a man. He's huge. And they had him playing guard. He played tackle in college. They had him playing guard. And Stevenson, who played guard at Notre Dame, they had him at center.
Huh.
So it's interesting how they're already moving these guys around in different
seeing
places.
Seeing what they can
yeah.
do. I'm excited about the offensive line as much as you can be about linemen, but I think that they're developing a very deep line, you know.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, watch out for that Willie Andrews. He's the only guy in the field that could stay with Chad Jackson. I mean, he was right there with him the whole time.
Interesting. Well, you know, Belichick makes it a point to say that these mini camps are for instruction and not for evaluation. Hogwash, I say. They're doing evaluation. They're seeing,
oh yeah,
A, how fast they can learn this stuff. So that's evaluating the
right.
guy. How fast, and then comparing him just, you know, out there with other guys.
Right.
There's evaluation going
apparently
on.
If you drop footballs, you have to do push-ups. And Matt Shelton out of Notre Dame was getting very familiar with the push-ups.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well,
at 170 pounds, he can't even afford to be dropping passes because he's already a long shot to make the team.
I just don't think the coach wants us to be doing evaluation, but
right.
I think it's happening as we speak. Guys are here now. The off-season conditioning program is in full swing.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the guys are here working out, so that's good news. Stan, I guess, was wondering where the show is, but apparently the show is up there because other people are emailing in. Steve writes in, love your show, listen to it every week. In my best Peter King impression, here are 10 things I think about this year's Patriots.
And I know ifs and buts are candy and nuts. If they were, we'd all have a great Christmas or whatever that cliche is.
That's the real Peter King. Steve is from Varina, North Carolina. He says he thinks if Maroney ain't no baloney, Corey Dillon and Maroney will combine for 1,800 yards rushing.
It's possible.
I think Chad Jackson won't leave us hanging, and will contribute 40 to 50 catches and several big touchdown catches that break open a game.
Now, though, that's what I'm talking about with the media putting too much pressure. That, to me, I would consider a very fine rookie year if he catches between 40 and 50 balls and provides some big plays.
I think we won't see the true value of Garrett Mills until next year or the year after, but he makes the squad and contributes.
I agree.
I think Jeremy Mincy will be much better than his draft position would indicate, but he won't ever be Willie. Maybe a Lawrence McGrew-style linebacker.
Yeah, the one thing about Mincy that's weird is he only had 5.5 sacks in college. I keep hearing about how he's this, you know, ferocious pass rusher. But from the people I've talked to, he plays the run really well, too. He's not just a pass rusher. So I agree. I don't think he's ever going to be the McGinnis kind of rushing the passer, but he could end up being a pretty good football player.
I think Patrick, my hammy hurts me pass, and Kevin Fumblefingers Falk should be getting nervous and checking in with their real estate agents.
Well, I'm pretty sure pass is. Let's just
I think they'll keep Falk around.
Yeah.
You know, it's unfortunate because kind of the last play we remember from Kevin Falk is the fumble in Denver.
He made a ton of big
and
plays.
He's had some fumbles in the past, you know, against Pittsburgh a couple years ago, Miami, I remember, on the one-yard line. But he's done pretty well. If you look at the number of carries versus fumbles, he's done okay.
I don't even count
carries.
When he
first came in the league, he had a little bit of a problem, but he did better.
It's receiving.
Yeah.
He's Brady's security blanket.
And he does well in that.
And I think maybe someday Mills or Thomas will become that player, and when they do, then I think Falk might go, but right now, Brady loves to check down to him, and as long as he can still catch the football, he'll have a spot on this team.
I think Brady passes for over 4,000 yards again this year.
I disagree.
I disagree with that, too.
I think he had to because the team fell behind a lot early in the season when their defense was terrible, and he had to throw, and just the fact that they could not run the ball at all. Let me tell you something. If they run the ball like they did last year, you can rip up all those Super Bowl tickets because it's not going to happen. Right. They have to run the football this year.
I think the defense will be solid but not dominant. They will be very good against the run, but will still give up big plays in the passing.
I think they'll struggle with the more balanced teams like the Colts. I still see them. When I look at their team and I look at the Colts, I still see a matchup problem there, so I agree with that assessment.
I think Deion Branch will not sign an extension this year and will test free agency waters if the Pats sign Ty Law this year. If they don't, Branch may get his extension. I don't think one has to do with the other.
I don't either, and I have no idea what's going on with that. But
and I think they'll get Branch done. I think Rodney will valiantly try to come back, but won't be ready until next year. So one of the young guys, Gus Scott, James Sanders, or the undrafted free agent Sam Smith, will have to step up and play the intimidator role that Harrison has in the past.
Yeah, and as I wrote and asked PFW, if I had to put my money on one of those guys, it would be James Sanders.
I think at some point this year, the Pats will lose a game in the final play and a missed field goal. All hell will break out in the local media about how stupid the Pats were to lose Adam, and Bill will say, it is what it is.
I don't know if the first part will happen, but if it does, I can guarantee you the second part will happen.
One P.S., Tom Brady is still pissed off for losing to Denver. That ain't a good sign for other teams. I think that's true. I think Tom did not like that. Still has a bet. You know, I heard he did 2 hours with Sirius Radio at a car show in New York,
yeah,
and talked about how that still pisses him off. Although he's still pissed off about a bet he lost in practice to Rodney Harrison. So, you know, there's a lot of things that you know. That's what makes him great.
Right. If you talk to Michael Jordan, he'll probably tell you a game against the Washington Wizards in 1988 that he lost. It still bothered him. That's why those guys win rings like that. They love to compete, and Brady's one of those guys. That's what separates them.
Earlier we were talking about Doug Flutie. There's some
same
people that
field. On
he's
the
still up there by the
play
way
with Mike
up
Ditka
at the podium.
and that great team they had.
Yep. Dave McKeegan from Winnipeg, Canada says, I don't think that Doug Flutie should be in the Hall of Fame. Who started that anyway? It's too bad he didn't play his full career in the NFL. When he came back, he did have a Pro Bowl appearance. Joe Jurevicius played in Calgary with Flutie and Pitts. He did? I didn't know that.
I would have to check that.
Pat's watchers were talking about picking up Jurevicius this season. It blows my mind to think that a team like the Pats missed Alan Pitts. Damon Allen could easily have started in the NFL. There are about 8 to 15 players at all times that can play in the CFL each year. They come cheap. It's a matter of scouting them. The CFL is a different style of game, and it's geared towards smaller, faster players. The best players perform in the NFL without question. The CFL is very competitive, enjoyable to watch. At the same time, so is college and high school football. I became a Patriot fan when Mac Heron went from the Bombers to the Patriots. I'm really looking forward to the Patriots this year. I picked up some tickets for the Lions game on Saturday when individual tickets went on sale. It will be my first Patriot game, and I'm pumped. I'm already picturing the view from the lighthouse.
Well, and I'm glad he wrote in because it's like I said, I think when people say Flutie didn't get a chance, that's wrong because he did get a chance because of who he is. And then this guy thinks that, who obviously sounds
from,
to me like
from Canada.
He's watching Canadian football, that Damon Allen could play in this league, but Damon Allen never got the chance.
Yeah. All right, Gary, let's take another break. We got a lot more emails. We'll be right back.
And that's full time. The New England Revolution are your Eastern Conference champions for 2005. What a performance by the Rams.
The New England Revolution are revved up for a return to MLS Cup. As summer heats up New England, the soccer action heats up in Foxborough.
Gillette Stadium explodes.
Don't miss exciting matchups against DC United and Freddie Adu. A Friday night matchup against Real Salt Lake and the New York Red Bulls and Houston Dynamo's first ever appearances in Foxborough. Get to Gillette Stadium for hot soccer action all summer long with the interactive theme park soccer celebration plus free parking all season long. New England Revolution Soccer is an affordable, fun day for the whole family. Tickets start at just $18. Call the Revolution Ticket Office today at 1-877-GET-REVS or Ticketmaster at 617-931-2222 to get your ticks, get your kicks, and get the Revolution. From sixth-round draft pick in 2000 to three-time Super Bowl champion and two-time MVP, Patriots quarterback Tom Brady has done it all. Until now.
Tom Brady launches a 60-yard.
Tom Brady is 2005 Sports Illustrated Sportsman of the Year. And now you can get an autographed copy of the SI cover personally autographed by the perennial Pro Bowler himself. It's the must-have keepsake for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on the Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, pre-game field passes, memorabilia, merchandise, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Sportsman of the Year Sports Illustrated cover autographed by Tom Brady. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autograph print limited to the first 500 with qualifying purchase. Visit PatriotsExtraPoints.com for details.
Hi, this is Taylor Twoman with your New England Revolution. Learn to play like the pros at Revolution Academy. The Revolution Academy is now enrolling for the 2006 season and has designed innovative, challenging, and skill-specific curriculums for all age groups. Learn how to develop your game, see how the pros practice, and even get tickets to see a Revolution match. By the end of the program, you'll have learned the skills to play like a pro.
Oh, now a shot!
The Revolution Academy is coming to Cranston, Swansea, Somerset, Tewksbury, Sudbury, Beverly, Foxborough, Smithfield, Westwood, Marshfield, Bedford, New Hampshire, and Portland. To find a session in a town near you or to register, call 508-384-9242. That's 508-384-9242. Or log on to revolutionsoccer.net and score a goal with the Revolution Academy.
The following takes place between 12 p.m.
This is PFW in progress.
Here's a nice piece of sh.
PFW in progress.
Over again. He caught the sh.
This is the best night of my life.
With Red Kirsch.
Shut up!
Paul Perillo.
Where's my snack pack? You got a banana. You don't eat no snack pack.
You know I like snack pack. Why can't you just give me a snack pack?
And Andy. And Andy?
Whoa. Part of the story I don't like is that the little boy gave up looking for Happy after an hour. That little boy's got to think. You got a pet. You got a responsibility.
Andy Hart.
If your dog is lost, you don't look for an hour and then call it quits. You get your ass out there and you find that dog.
Some guy named Tom.
I am the smartest man alive!
And you never know, Rory might stop by.
Oh, I want to touch the hiney.
PFW in progress.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
All right, welcome back to PFW in progress. Fred Kirsch, Tom Casale, Gary on the board. You can blame all that on him. We had one emailer over the week. He didn't like all the funny stuff. He thinks that, you know, we should be serious, talking football 2 hours straight.
We couldn't do it.
He just didn't. Oh, there's Susie Colbert, Gary's favorite.
That type of stuff.
She's doing commercials now for Ford. I don't like that. I don't think we should be doing commercials. What is this, Caesar's Palace? What's ESPN doing over at Caesar's Palace, Gary? Do you know? Anyway. All right.
Having the opportunity to play and
Doug
a guy
still,
that I still consider a friend that I talk to every now and then, not as often as I'd like,
Steve
is Steve Grogan, to have the opportunity to learn
Grogan.
From Steve.
So we've moved into, you know, at least the early years of his career, maybe by Friday.
I noticed he didn't mention Jim McMahon.
Didn't mention Jim McMahon. No, I don't think they liked him.
No, you didn't hear the story? When Flutie first came there, McMahon was walking on his knees and had midget written across his jersey. He
really?
Hates Flutie. He hated him.
Wow. Well, a lot of guys, you know, one of the things that really hasn't been mentioned this year, part of Flutie's, you know, history, is the whole, you know, being a scab and crossing the line and playing football. A lot of guys...
McMahon hated him.
...still don't like certain players for doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So... In any event, let's see. Rob writes in, and the email address, by the way, is webradio@patriots.com. That's webradio@patriots.com. Rob says, what do you think about Marquise Hill? Is he in the mix to play some D-line this year? He's been on the team for 2 years and hasn't seen much playing time. The Patriots drafted him in the second round, so I was hoping for big things from him. Can this guy not play in this league, or do you think the team is bringing him along slowly?
Well, I've never been here for a training camp, so I got to be honest with you. I've hardly ever seen Marquise Hill play in my life, so I'm not really the person to answer that. But as far as the depth they have on the defensive line, I think it's a make-or-break year this year for Marquise Hill. He really needs a breakout season because he's on the inactive list a lot of the times when they needed players to play at that position. He just doesn't seem to be coming along. I think when you look at guys who are on the bubble, you're looking at Marquise Hill, you're looking at Dan Klecko, you're looking at Bethel Johnson, guys who have been here a couple of years, have been given an opportunity to play, and just haven't, for whatever reason, haven't been able to get on the field and accomplish a lot, especially Bethel Johnson, who I think they wanted him to succeed here. He hasn't done it. And I think when you look at Willie Andrews and some of the other people who can return kicks now, his job is in serious jeopardy.
Thank you. See, people don't even know that I just walked away from the microphone while you were saying that.
Very well done, Tom.
Thanks.
Did you say anything good?
No, I just rambled about stuff
okay.
People have heard 100 times.
Yeah, Marquise Hill.
I'm just going to say, I'm not, but.
You know, that's second round pick, not good value so far.
No.
You know?
And I mentioned Bethel Johnson, too, in that same category.
You know, a lot of people laugh at me, you know. Guys are built different ways. Marquise Hill has very long legs. You know, when he is in a three-point stance, his butt is higher up off the ground than, say, a Richard Seymour.
Mm-hmm.
And I've watched them come out of their stance, and Marquise Hill just takes that split second longer to get out of that stance than a guy like a Seymour.
Right.
You know, and I think that makes a big difference with him. He just gets angled up too easily. He doesn't get that first, you know, because it's all about technique and leverage
right.
at this level. And if that guy gets into you before you get to him, you're done.
Done.
You know, now you're dancing. Sean from Hazleton says, news is pretty light, and I know Fred is all spent in preparing that one pass, one kick wonder from Natick's press conference. Fred, were you in the front row of that press junket? And actually, no, I was in the back row. Just having fun, anyway. Two things. I know Paul is not there,
I think
this guy
was
even Dan Ross died
today. I'll tell you what, I had more fun playing football
today.
In Canada.
Well, that is true. Dan Ross did die. Died last night. Northeastern grad, played with the Bengals, and you know, I'm sure Paul is heartbroken at that. But that was kind of, he was only 49 years old. He was out jogging and, you know.
And my response was, like, in the next 20 years, these doctors are going to come out and say, once you turn 45, stop exercising.
Right.
Because these old people who drink and smoke and eat bacon for, like, dinner, they live till they're 120. You
right.
go out for a jog, you come back, and your heart explodes.
I'll ask the annual question, or maybe you can get in touch with Ken Flanders. Ken is our retail director. Which game will be the alternate jersey since I don't think they will be using throwbacks?
Hi, you've reached the desk of Ken Flanders at Gillette Stadium.
Is Ken around?
You want to call him?
Yeah, sure.
No, they definitely won't be using throwbacks.
No.
It's because of the helmets, right?
Yeah, I don't know what game they'll be using the silver jerseys yet. You know, which, by the way, I don't like anyway.
No, I can't even tell when they're on.
You know, I wouldn't mind if they used the throwback this year.
But I heard it was because of the helmets.
They can't use the throwback?
Because they have to buy all new helmets because they don't have enough of the old.
Right, that's
so
true.
That's the reason why they don't go to the throwbacks.
Why can't they just use the throwback jersey with the new helmet? You know?
It would look stupid.
Red and silver, that looks good. This kid's never by his desk.
Hi, you've reached the desk.
He's
never
there.
Meanwhile,
we've called at least 10 times.
Meanwhile, I'll walk by and he's got like four people and they're talking about anything but work. It's like Floyd's barbershop up there, except when
really
we
is.
Call. I don't know where he is. This probably like between 12 and 2, he's in the men's room, knowing him. Vienna, Virginia, do you think the Patriots will select Ahmad Brooks from UVA in the supplemental draft he's talking about?
Hmm.
I doubt it.
I don't think so.
No.
Too many.
You pick one of those guys, you lose a guy for next year's draft. You don't want to do
and
that.
The
guy has to be real.
And what you're talking about there is, say Brady gets injured in week one and the season's lost and you win four games and you've used a high draft pick on Ahmad Brooks who never. Now, you're getting. He's really got to be a good player.
Let's see. We're talking earlier about retiring numbers and rings of fame. Al Fecto writes in, as a longtime Pats fan, these discussions can be dangerous because you get too nostalgic. It's unavoidable. First, I agree Nick Bonacani's 85 should be unretired if that's possible. Loved him on the Pats, but he remains mostly known as a Miami Dolphin player. But despite the fact that NFL rosters have expanded over the years, and you do need the numbers, as you say, I would still retire certain highly select numbers. You also have to factor in how the league restricts certain ranges of numbers for certain positions. For example, Doug Flutie never got to wear 22 in the NFL. So here's who I would retire. Maybe some are already, I just don't know. For Adam Vinatieri. Al, I gotta disagree with you right off the bat. How can you retire Adam Vinatieri's number four? You just can't do it.
Emmitt Smith left the Cowboys.
Yeah. No way.
I'm pointing it out.
So you're comparing
Joe Montana.
Yeah, but you're comparing a kicker to a running back or a
saying,
quarterback.
Joe Montana. Are you saying because he left because he's a kicker?
Well, I'd say if he was a kicker, if he stayed, he'd have a better chance of doing it. But once you leave as a kicker, come on.
You're done. All right.
Yeah. I mean, he did some great things, but no way.
I just tell you though, when
they
you
will absolutely retire his number.
You would.
They will.
The Patriots.
Yeah.
Number four, Adam Vinatieri?
For all those kicks?
Absolutely not. Score
all time?
I'll just tell you what.
No way.
I saw the game on NFL Network again, the snow game this weekend.
Unbelievable.
Against the Raiders. I mean, that kick is, I don't know. That just, you get a kick like that, man, you couldn't make that.
Well,
if you had 100 chances, you'd make it 3 times.
I mean, you know, the kick that he made in, you know, against St. Louis in the Super Bowl to win it, one of the greatest moments in Patriots history, obviously, but as a single most electric moment, you know, surreal, that kick against the Raiders. I mean, Tom, you had to be there. People were watching that game with a half a foot of snow on their shoulders. I mean, it was coming down. This is the kind of snow that was sticking. Everything, like, it was big snowflakes and it was sticking. And they were, you know, snow blowing the, you know, with the leaf blowers, the lines, and no sooner were they done, they were just covered up again. It was futile. You know, so, I mean, this was a major snow, and everyone stayed, and there were so many points in that game where it's over.
Right.
And then, you know, starting with the tuck rule and everything else, like, you know, it'd be like, you woke up from a dream, and what just happened wasn't real, and then something happened to just change the whole. It was just an amazing game. In that moment, probably, you know, I'll give credit to Vinatieri, probably the greatest kick in NFL history and the greatest moment in Patriots history.
I agree.
You know, it's right, you know, I'd have to put number one, the kick against the Rams.
Because
that won the Super Bowl. But
this
is number two.
But this got him there.
Yeah, this is number two, definitely. But that said, I'm not retiring number four. I'm sorry.
Well, you just said he's the producer of the two greatest moments in the history of the Patriots.
Yeah, but there's a lot leading up to that, too. 12, Brady. I'll give him that. Steve Grogan, number 14. Hotly debated. Steve Grogan definitely Ring of Honor. I don't know about retiring
number.
His number.
I wouldn't. And I love Grogan. You know, I got to meet him this year. He's the nicest guy in the world.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's like what you said. As far as what he did on the field. Now, because the key here, Fred, is you just said 12, then 14.
Yeah.
Now compare those two. There's no comparison.
Right.
So Brady is a legend. He's a quarterbacking legend.
Right.
Grogan was just a very good quarterback.
Right. Capoletti, 20. I'll give him that one. Tippett, 56.
Yep.
Okay. John Hanna, 73, no question. Here's another one that a lot of people want to retire his number for because of what happened. But it's a sentimental. Darryl Stingley, 84.
No.
Yeah. I see.
You can't do that.
Yeah, you just can't.
I mean, there's so many people that go on the field that have afflictions that we might not even know about that battle through them every day. And so then we have to start retiring their numbers, too.
Now,
and
had Stingley continued his career the way it started, he might have been one of the great receivers. But you can't make that jump. And, you know, again, maybe, you know, in the Patriots Museum, you do something for him, you know, but retiring his number, I just don't.
No, I agree with you.
Julius Adams, 85. Great, great lineman. And was on a great line with Hanna. But, I don't know. That's a tough one. Near misses would be Sam Cunningham, Russ Francis, and Ben Coates. If you put in Coates, you got to look at Francis. If you put in Francis, you definitely have to put in Coates.
Yeah.
Sam Cunningham had a great career as a Patriot, no doubt about it. I put him up there with Grogan, though.
Yeah, same type
you
of
know?
Thing.
You know? Now, he leaves out Bruce Armstrong.
Yeah.
You know, Bruce Armstrong every year made the Pro Bowl at one of
Armstrong.
The toughest positions in football.
He has to go.
Yeah. I mean, how can you not at least consider him? You know, so you got to put in Bruce Armstrong there, too. I know it's tougher for a lineman to get that type of credit. But, you know, if you're going to think about Julius Adams, Bruce Armstrong goes in before him. So it's a good discussion, though. You know?
Yeah, I mean, it's you can debate.
And Al was with the Patriots. He's been a long time. Mm-hmm. So he has a little bit of perspective. I'm surprised he didn't mention guys like Bob D and Jim Lee Hunt, because they're – you know, their numbers are currently retired. So, Dave from Rocky Hill, with the Pats' easy schedule next year. Now, here we go. Easy schedule.
Hey, Dave, since you have your crystal ball out, can you tell me which games we're going to win and lose so I can start my stories up, please?
And also take your trip to Vegas. how many games do you see them winning? Also, will Tom be doing Wednesdays with Grogan again this year? Well, we hope
so.
Yes,
as far as I know,
I'm
hoping.
I mean, it's up to Steve, really.
Right.
You know.
But, Dave, the problem we have when we look at the schedule is that we don't know. The NFL, it amazes me how so many people don't see this. In today's NFL, so many teams change from year to year. Just look at every year that when they say on ESPN that only three of the eight teams that made the playoffs last year are in the playoffs this year. It happens every year. Now, in my opinion, the Bears aren't going to be as good as they were last year. So some people may look at the Bears as a tough game. I look at it as maybe one of the easier games. So that's what I'm saying. You don't know who's going to be good. You don't know who's going to sneak up on you. Plus, you don't know about the injuries when they occur. Like when you look at the Patriots last season, they occurred early on. They got healthy towards the end of the year. That's when they were playing their best football. So, you know, you got to be weary about when you say easy schedule. Because in the NFL, I'm sure Bill Belichick will tell you, there really is no easy game.
The only thing I can say about the Patriots' schedule next year is that they're in the AFC East.
Yes, and that's
And I just like don't see the Bills or the Jets, you know. Of those four games, I think the Patriots might lose one.
Right, and I think the Dolphins are still a year away.
Yeah.
From seriously challenging.
But you don't know what's going to happen.
Right, you're right. They are in a week. And I think when people say easy schedule, part of it might be the early road trips that they had last year that were all,
right.
You know, they don't have that. That'll
they had a tough first half.
Yes, that'll give you.
Yeah. Phil from Austin, I like Ty Law, but I was disappointed in him late last year when his weight ballooned to about 225. The excuse was that he wasn't able to work out, but by the end of the year, he should have been a lot closer to his optimum playing weight than he was. If he was serious about his career, he would have found a way to lose the weight, maybe eat a little less. I agree with him, but I think part of it is the way Herm Edwards ran that team.
Mm-hmm,
I don't think he would have been allowed to gain that weight under the the watchful eye of Bill Belichick and Mike Wysick.
Plus, you got to remember there was a point last year when he just lost the team.
The
Jets just imploded.
Right, guys were doing whatever they wanted. But I think, you know, there's a lot of, you know, I was talking to somebody on the inside yesterday about the Patriots, and everyone talks about how Bill Belichick has an iron fist over this team, and which is true. But a lot of the pressure on working out and doing the best and getting what they call edge comes from the players themselves with the other players.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's Tom Brady looking over at Richard Seymour and saying, "You're going to eat those two cookies?" You know, it's that kind of, you know, and there's a thing they call edge. You know, where'd you get that edge? That word is used a lot by the players with each other. And they're always looking for the edge to get on each other and make those digs and remind each other about working out. And a lot of that is player to player.
Mm-hmm.
This locker room is run by Tom Brady, Richard Seymour, Rodney Harrison, and a few others.
Right.
And those are the guys that if Ty Law comes back, he won't be immune from.
Right.
They're going to get on him just like they get on the other guys. Doesn't matter how many years you've been in this league. They're getting on you, and I don't think that he'd be allowed to balloon up on this team the way he did with the Jets.
No, I agree. And if he did, he wouldn't be playing much.
Yeah. Phil also says, I think Chad Jackson may get a chance to start the season because Belichick is likely to repeat last year's practice of keeping Deion out of all the preseason games. That will give Chad a lot of playing time. You know, I forget about that. Remember last year, preseason,
yeah,
you weren't here.
No,
Deion Branch didn't play.
I know he didn't play.
And everyone was like, what? How can you not tune the guy up at least?
It just doesn't do it, though. Preseason, to me, is a glorified practice. You might as well have five more practices with Chad Jackson. You're not facing, you know, Champ Bailey's not jamming you in the mouth. It's just, it's different. I think ideally what they would like is for Caldwell to begin the year as the number two. And, you know, we put these numbers on there, but the Patriots have 3 and 4 wides all the time.
It depends on the package.
But,
you know,
I think they would like at some point in the year Jackson to take over, and that could happen. But I think if you're talking opening day, I think it'll be Caldwell. Especially that thing that Brady said just stuck in my head when he said they've been out throwing every day for like 2 months. That means he's got a 2-month lead on Jackson. Plus, he's already been in the NFL for a couple of years.
Right.
For me, that what Brady said that registered something, and I believe Caldwell will begin the season. And like I said, a couple of years ago, Caldwell was on his way to having a pretty good year before he hurt himself. And last year, he was still recovering from his injury, kind of fell out of favor in San Diego. If he's fully healthy, he could. I mean, David Givens didn't put up eye-popping numbers here. He can do what David Givens did.
Hmm. Okay. Phil's surprise cut for the Patriots is Brandon Gorin.
Okay.
Could happen,
yeah,
with the depth that they have there.
That's a good guess.
Let's see. Ron and Raymond says, I missed the first half hour because I was watching the news to see what's going on with our flooding situation. I don't suppose you guys have any word on what's up with Ty Law. Well, we did talk about it, but, you know.
Yeah, we don't really have,
have anything to add other than it is true that he had a physical. Whether or not you thought maybe he's just putting pressure on the other teams. You know, it could be. Ron also wants to know where Paul is. Is he floating around a canoe in Peabody somewhere? Well, I saw a helicopter shot of him on his roof with a sign that said, "Goodbye, Doug." So, I don't know.
In my career, especially my last 2 years in Toronto.
Doug is still saying goodbye.
There were great players, great coaches all along the line.
Actually, Paul is fine. He's actually had the day off before the flooding started. So.
Right. He said he got a little bit. He said he spent most of the day, though, helping out his neighbor, who on the other side of the street had it a lot worse.
Yeah.
So Paul must be uphill.
Yeah.
Let's see. Gary from Syracuse, New York. Do you see any free agents besides Ty Law fitting into the Patriots system?
Well, like we said, maybe a veteran linebacker or two if someone becomes available that fits their system. Other than that, I think they're pretty set.
Yeah.
You know, possibly a receiver maybe if someone.
Yeah.
But I think they're pretty set with their team. I think they're pretty happy with it.
Sean from Hazleton, I thought Cam Cleveland and Jed Weaver wore 85 for the Pats. So 85 is not retired. Only 89 is retired. Bob D. When did I say 85 was retired?
who wore 85.
Was that Jim Lee Hunt?
I don't know. You're going back too far for me.
Well, actually, I've got the media guy right here. I'll look it up as we speak. Because I know in the Patriots media guide, we have the Hall of Fame 306. I think that's where it is. This is great radio, I know. Talk amongst yourselves. Let's see. Patriots put out a very, very...
It was 85. What number did Julius Adams wear?
Okay, here we go. You ready? Now, they have a Patriots Hall of Fame. Are they going to give me the retired numbers?
What was Julius Adams, Fred? 70...
Hold on. Are they not listening? Oh, I might have to get another one. I think they might have stopped doing the numbers. Let's see. The following players have been inducted into the Patriots Hall of Fame. Of the 11, three have received professionals' highest honor into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. But they're not going to give me the retired numbers anymore? Oh, come on. Oh, here it is. Okay, I've got the retired numbers. 20, Gino Cappelletti.
Mm-hmm.
40, Mike Haynes. 57, Steve Nelson. 73, John Hanna. 78, Bruce Armstrong. 79, Jim Lee Hunt. So he, and 89, Bob D.
So 85 isn't retired.
85 is. I never said it was, though. When did I say it was?
I don't know.
Yeah. So you got seven numbers that are retired as of this date. Now, the Hall of Fame is different. Okay, there you got Armstrong, Bonacani, Cappelletti, Bob D, Steve Grogan is in the Hall of Fame, John Hanna, Mike Haynes, Jim Lee Hunt, Steve Nelson, Bay Parilli, and Andre Tippett. Now, a lot of people think that Julius Adams should be in there.
Stanley Morgan.
A lot of people think Stanley Morgan should be in there. And there's a good case for that, you know. So that's it. But the Hall of Fame does not get you your retired number. There are only seven retired numbers of the Patriots. So that's it, according to the Patriots media guide, which I hold in my hands right now. So 85 is not retired. That's true. Only 89 is retired. Oh, okay, of the 80s. That's true. But when were we talking about
I don't know
that?
If we were talking about it at some point. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, okay. Let's see. Rob writes in. He's got some true or false.
Okay.
You ready? Bam Childress will make the 53-man squad this year.
True.
Russ Hochstein will only make the 53-man roster this year if Copen is injured.
False.
Injury or not, Matt Light will lose his starting job this year. So
false.
Even if he's healthy, he says he loses.
I say if he's healthy, he starts.
Okay. Either Todd Mortensen or Corey Bramlett will make the 53-man roster.
False. One of them will be on the practice squad.
Okay. Let's see. James writes in and from Roanoke Rapids. I was thinking back on the three Super Bowl victories that the Patriots have enjoyed over the last 4 years, and a thought occurred to me. I know there have been a few players that are not with the team now that were on the roster for Super Bowl 36, but I do not know how many. With this thought in mind, I did some searching and comparing the Super Bowl 36 roster to the present one, and I have found something interesting. Of the 45 players on the Super Bowl 36 roster, only 11 are still on the current roster, and of those, one was not on Super Bowl 38 or 39 rosters, and another was not on the Super Bowl 38 roster. Of the 45 players on the Super Bowl 38 roster, only 22 are still on the current roster, and of those players who were on the 39 roster, 31 are still on the current roster. If this year's team was to go on to win the franchise's fourth Super Bowl in 6 years, they would not only match what the Steelers teams of the 70s accomplished, they would also set themselves apart from all others in the past by winning those championships while faced with so many player losses. Guess you could say that is why the current run is so amazing.
Yes, but you also have to remember that the 49ers won, what was it, 4-7? Or four, and they also won their division title 17 straight years. 17 straight years they won their division. That's
amazing.
That's longevity.
Yeah.
So
that's a dynasty.
I understand what you're saying. I think everybody admits that the Patriots are the first team to have to do it with player movement, and then that comes down to two things. I think coaching, which I think the Patriots have one of the top one or two staffs in all of football. And then your quarterback, Tom Brady, which I believe is the best quarterback in the NFL. So when you have the top in both of those, you're going to have a chance to win in today's football.
Ron and Raymond, the most overrated tight end ever. Catch the ball and fall down. He made most of his catches because of his height. He's saying that's Russ Francis.
Oh, Russ?
when does it get to a point where everyone is wearing triple digits? I think retiring numbers is a crock. We know what these guys did, and we won't forget it.
So I'd ask Ron to write in again. You would live with some backup schmuck quarterback wearing number 12 if Brady wins two more Super Bowls.
Well, that's the thing, you know. But that's the level I think it needs to be.
I agree with you.
In baseball, no one should ever wear the number 3 again.
Right.
You know, you just can't wear Babe Ruth's number.
With the Yankees, look who they retire. Gehrig, Ruth,
right.
DiMaggio,
right.
Mantle.
Right.
I agree with you. Those are the people who should be retired. And in my opinion, Tom Brady is one of those people.
Yes. Let's see. Bill from Spokane, Washington. With the drafting of Mills, who may be rotating as a fullback, do you think Dan Klecker will finally have nowhere to play?
Yes.
And all of you guys think that. And I reluctantly say that could be the case now. My last-ditch hope was to somewhere find a niche inside linebacker.
Right.
Ain't going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
You know, and I knew that last year in training camp where they just didn't even really use him that much there. And I knew that that experiment wasn't going to work, and I think that was his last ditch. He's just not big enough to compete on that defensive line, you know. And although, you know, he did some things out of the backfield on offense, he can catch the ball, but you're not going to keep him on the roster spot for that. Brian in Miami, he has two questions. First is, since Asante Samuel is pretty much a lock for one cornerback spot, does the other cornerback spot likely belong to Hobbs at the start of training camp? Warfield is talented, but I'm really impressed by Hobbs' aggressive play toward the end of the season, and I would like to think it is his position to lose.
I know, I agree. I don't know how. Let's wait and see on Warfield. He got beat quite a bit in Kansas City. I'll go with Hobbs on that one.
And do you think the Pats sign any more free agents? And if so, what position?
Like we said, safety, linebacker, receiver, someone.
I think they'll do whatever they can to improve their team.
Right, but I think they're pretty happy with the way things are right now.
All right. Al writes in again. He's talking about retired numbers. You know, this is a hot topic for some people. Thanks for clarifying that Bob D and Jim Lee Earthquake Hunt, 79 and 89, have had their numbers retired. I never saw them play, though my older brother did many times. I certainly would not unretire those numbers at this point. Otherwise, I suppose there may be a separate problem with Nick Bonacani and Julius Adams in that they wore the same number, 85. That's true. Bonacani was still playing with the Dolphins when Adams was retired. No, Bonacani didn't wear it. Bonacani wore, oh, that's right. He did not have his number retired. You're right. Okay, he did wear 85. Bonacani was still playing with the Dolphins when Adams was drafted as a defensive lineman, the next pick after Jimmy Plunkett. Adams' version of 85 should be the one that is retired.
I agree. If you went out of the state of Massachusetts and asked 100 people what teams Nick Bonacani played, if one or two said the Patriots, I'd be shocked.
But I will defend 84, says Al. Stingley did not suffer from an affliction. He was knocked out of the game as a result of a late hit, cheap shot and an exhibition game in Oakland.
Hit.
He would have gone on to become one of the all-time greats, particularly combining with Stanley Morgan. See, first of all, it wasn't a late hit. It might have been a cheap shot, but it wasn't a late hit.
That's how they played back then.
Right.
Jack Tatum did that to more than one person. That's how football was played back then. I just think, I'm sorry, I know I'm in the wrong region to say this, but I think Jack Tatum gets a bad rap.
No, well, Jack Tatum doesn't get a bad rap for the hit. He gets a bad rap deserving
for the reaction, which
for
is
reaction,
which I
for never
know
saying
about.
I'm sorry, and I'm
I
sorry you got hurt.
And I understand.
You know, and he deserves it. Jack Tatum's an ass.
But,
okay.
But Jack Tatum does a lot of things for kids and stuff, too. You know, a lot of NFL people don't do that.
That really bothers me.
Yeah, now he
me.
Does.
Some
so,
ass.
Well, that's how he played football.
Because he need to sell his book. But
That's how he played football. Well, listen, Stingley got the same thing that some other people got playing football. That's the risk you take. He went over the middle on Jack Tatum. He got caught. Unfortunately, he can't walk anymore.
And,
I'm not retiring his number for
and
it.
For, I agree with you there. I mean, he could have been great. Wasn't. You know, we don't know what would have happened had he not been hurt. Unfortunate. It was a tragedy. It was terrible. It wasn't a late hit. It wasn't outside the rules. There was no flag right. thrown on it. You know, he hit him high with a forearm, basically, and, you know, clotheslined him. And the guy fell wrong or whatever, right. you know, and
well, that's the problem I have with it. I have a problem when people attack the hit. Now, from what you guys have told me, the response from Tatum was wrong. Now, that, if you want to criticize that, I have no problem
that's
with
why
it.
He but, gets the bad
but
rap.
The hit was, back then, is the way they
I mean,
played
the game.
He was
a cheap shot guy, and there were a lot of them. You know, Conrad Dobler.
Yeah, I don't think Jack
you know, known
Lambert,
as the dirtiest player ever.
Jack Lambert was the nicest guy on the football
yeah,
field.
Yeah, Jack Lambert was. I've seen Brian Cox, and he's in our era. You know, literally throwing punches in
right.
piles, you know, and he getting away with it. But when he's on your team, you know, you love that because
kind
he's
of,
aggressive.
But they kind of taken the rules away. I think Rodney Harrison is one of the last in those breeds
right.
of the really nasty. I mean, off the field, nice, one of the nicest guys you'll ever see. But when he puts that helmet on, something switches in his head, and he just becomes a nasty person who doesn't like anybody around him, and quite frankly, those are the kind of football players I like.
I remember watching, you know, when Rod, while Rodney was a Patriot, watching him in, I think it was Redskins. I mean, it was a really, really cheap hit. It was way after, it was after the whistle, and the guy was down, and here comes Rodney flying in at him. You know, and we, it's okay because he's on our team, but I know if I was on the Redskins, I'd be like screaming
right.
if I was a Redskins fan.
Right.
You know, that's the way he plays. He gets away with, well, not all the time. He leads the league in fines.
Right.
You know.
That's why I say he's kind of the last of that, because the
yeah.
way the NFL has fined people and the way they're teaching football now, you don't really get too many Rodney Harrisons anymore.
Right. But the whole thing with the Stingley incident and with Jack Tatum is what Tatum refused to do afterwards, which was show any sympathy for the guy. You know, it wasn't a cheap, you know, it was a cheap shot. It wasn't an illegal shot, but at least say, hey, I'm sorry you got hurt. You know, at least say that.
Yeah, I saw, the thing is that the thing that they showed during the Super Bowl, did you see it, the Tatum thing with Stingley? You know, it's like I said, Jack Tatum does do a lot of good in this world, but when you look into his eyes, you can see the other kind of person that he is, too. He just looks like he's a soulless, mean...
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it
and he paid
to
for
it,
too.
He's lost both legs. Yeah.
You know, so, you know, life hasn't been exactly easy for him. You got
to figure, too, back in those days, when you had a player like Jack Tatum, I'd have to figure the coaches wanted him to play that way, wanted to intimidate, told him to play that way. So when you have a style and then it's being told to make sure you do it this way, it's just getting, you know, bred into you. It's hard to blame the hit. To blame the reaction, I'm fine with, but the hit was the hit. That's just the way it is.
You know, I'm looking at Bonaconi. He played for the Patriots from 62 to 68, so 7 years, obviously finished his career with the Dolphins, appeared in 5 consecutive AFL All-Star games during his career, Patriots career, and was part of the Patriots' first ever championship game appearance in the 63 AFL Championship, tied the team lead in interceptions with 3 in 65, leading vote-getter on the 66 All-Star team, you know, but basically that's it. Ranked 8th on the Patriots' all-time interception list with 24. Yeah, no way. No way should his number be retired.
And I also think it's hard to say that Daryl Stingley could have been this. how do we know what Charles Rogers would have been in Detroit if he didn't get injured 2 years? Because in his rookie season, he was off to a fast start.
Yeah.
He broke his collarbone.
I think that, you know, teams would be smart to not start retiring numbers. Now, forget about the player and the Ring of Honor and all that stuff, because guys make contributions to your team. They should be recognized. But teams should not start retiring numbers until they've won a Super Bowl. Because what happens is you start retiring numbers before that. Then the team reaches a new level of success in it. And those guys that have been retired, their accomplishments pale in comparison. So you got to have the ultimate achievement before you can start saying, okay, this guy deserves to have his number retired.
Right, you're exactly. I agree with you 100%.
You know, let's just say they did retire Grogan's number and it was 12.
Right.
What would you do with Tom Brady now?
Right.
You know, obviously he wouldn't be wearing 12, but it's just, I think teams would be smart. You don't start retiring numbers until you've won a Super Bowl. And then you can have a benchmark where, okay, he was good, but did he lead us to the promised land? No. So, and I think that's a mistake that a lot of teams have made. The Celtics, now, they're a different story because they were winning championships every year.
They had so many good players.
You know, and there's no one that's retired, I think, that has not been part of a championship team with the Celtics. So you can make an argument in their favor, but, man, they retire everybody over there.
Right.
You know, Cedric Maxwell.
I just think when you look at, what are they, the second most successful behind the Canadians,
right.
The Yankees are the second most successful ever.
Yeah.
When you look at all the good players that have gone through that team and how few numbers they retire,
right.
I think that's how organizations should go about it, as much as I can't stand the Yankees. But they do that right, is that only your Babe Ruths, only your Lou Gehrigs, those are the guys.
Right. You know, for the Celtics, it should be Bill Russell, Bob Cousy, Larry Bird, maybe Havlicek, you know. Even McHale I wouldn't put in there. You know, I wouldn't put in Robert Parrish.
I definitely wouldn't put in Parrish.
You know? It's got to be, you know, just...
McHale, I think that's where the debate would start, is with at McHale. Parrish, I think, is behind McHale.
Yeah, but even McHale, I wouldn't put
him. Saying, that's where you would. That's where the debate would start.
You know, you retire Red Auerbach, you know, his name, and, you know... Brown, I forget the original owner, Paul.
Walter Brown,
you retire his name. But, yeah, but you got to keep it really exclusive. You have to really be, transcend everything to get your number retired. Bruins. Bobby Orr is an obvious one. I'm not as familiar with the Bruins as I should be, but, you know, there's probably just a few that should be retired on that team. And with the Red Sox, I think they've got it right.
Mm-hmm.
There's only five guys now retired. And probably shouldn't be any more than that.
Well, you know, when you look at the Patriots' history, they certainly don't have a need to retire 30. You know what I mean? They haven't been the most successful franchise in the history of the world until recently.
Right.
So,
you know, I think, you know, they felt this need to retire numbers, but...
When you look at some of the owners they've had...
Maybe they should do? Maybe they should recognize, you know, the struggles that they went through being an AFL team and have a separate set of AFL honorees, you know, numbers and players. And then if your number is retired as an AFL player, it's still in circulation. So that would free up those numbers.
Right.
And, you know, as an AFL player, these numbers are retired. But now that we're in the NFL, we can reuse them.
Right.
You know, I'll have to get onto that museum planning committee, Gary. When does that committee meet? Do you know?
Wednesdays at noon.
Wednesdays at noon? Okay, I'll get part of that. Let's call Ken, because we need to get some shirt updates here. I need to know when.
Hi, you've reached the desk of Ken Flanders at Gillette Stadium. Hi. You've reached the desk of Ken
Flanders
at Gillette
Stadium.
He's still
not at his desk. Unbelievable. All right. Okay, email address is webradio@patriots.com.
Guys like Pinball Clemens to play with.
And Doug is
Don Matthews coaching us. And guy named Alan Pitts out in Calgary that
so at least
had 2,000 yard receiving seasons.
Now.
I had the opportunity
he's
to play with my
Canadian
brother for
league.
A year up
so
there.
So that's good. The Doug, ESPN, is going to be an announcer for the college games. He's going to have to brush up, though, because I'm sure he's not really spending a lot of time, you know, watching college games now because he's out watching his nephews play, you know?
I'm sure he still follows it, though.
Yeah, probably, but he's got to bone up. He's got to get up there. So he's never at his freaking desk.
Hi. That's
unbelievable.
That's amazing.
How does he get any work
done? That's amazing.
It's no wonder we're always running out of those Belichick gray sweatshirts, you know?
That's absolutely amazing.
Oh, boy. Gary, any good entertainment coming from the Revolution games?
The play on the field was spectacular.
Revolution, if season tickets are available.
Really?
And single game tickets. I guarantee if you call for single game tickets, you won't have the problem that you did when you called for the Patriots single game tickets.
So now the Patriots are all sold out now, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, they're sold out. Even right. We just hold those back.
So now when do I start getting my tickets? Next year?
Your third year.
Third year. All right.
Yeah, so we have a policy here. You have to be a three-year full-time employee, and then you get a pair of free season tickets.
Okay.
But you can buy some this year if you want them.
Employees can still buy some?
You can buy a pair of season tickets this year if you want them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, you know.
I'll have to look into it.
Think of going. You got to work anyway. You can't go to any games.
Well, no. I just, you know, I got people who want to go to games.
You got people.
For tickets. Yeah, I got people.
Ron and Raymond says, quarterback numbers, as far as I know, are 1 through 19. Like I said, when does it get to a point that we run out of numbers? I have no problem with some schmuck wearing Brady's numbers, but he's not Brady. I have to agree with Fred on the Stingley-Tatum deal. That was my problem with that deal. Just say I'm sorry, and I'd be satisfied.
Yeah, that seems to be most people around here are, you know, and I wasn't here, so I don't know about his whole attitude towards. I do, you know what? I'm going to read that book.
Yeah.
What does he say in the book?
I don't know. I didn't read it. I didn't bother.
I think it'd be interesting.
You know.
You don't like Jack Tatum.
I don't like him.
He's one of my favorite players ever. That's why I just love him. I miss that brand of football, the Ronnie Lott, the Harrison. I'm not talking dirty, you know. I'm not talking being dirty. Just the way they played, the physical style, and the way the NFL takes that away now just bothers me.
Al writes in, as I was advised one time by PFW in a different discussion, please simply try to see a replay of the hit on Stingley. One, the game was an exhibition game. Two, the ball had been overthrown. Three, the play was over. Yes, it was over. Four, Stingley was off balance as a result of the ball being overthrown. And five, Tatum then hit Stingley, in my view, needlessly. I'm sure Tatum did not intend for the result to be what it proved to be, and I could care less whether he was nice about it or not. This has nothing to do with Tatum. In my opinion, which is, of course, subject to plenty of debate, is that Stingley was well on his way to being an all-time Patriot wide receiver, so like Deion Branch is today. But, Al, if Deion Branch, if God forbid anything happened to Deion Branch,
we wouldn't be talking about him. And I will say
this, either.
In the Pro Bowl this year, A, the ball was overthrown. B, the play was over. C, Roy Williams took Rod Smith's head off. D, Rod Smith was bleeding from the mouth and had to go to the hospital. So that was the Pro Bowl. So should we be banning Roy Williams from ever playing football again? The exact same thing happened in the Pro Bowl that he just said. The only thing is Rod Smith actually got up and walked out of the hospital, but he was admitted into the hospital after that play in a meaningless game.
I mean, they did not throw a flag on that play.
That's how some people play the game of football. And the ball was overthrown. He's saying the play was over like they blew the whistle. The ball was overthrown. Stingley came at him, and he hit him.
Right.
A lot of times, not
to defend Tatum, but a lot of times playing football, you line a guy up, you see the ball come, and your head goes down. You don't know whether he caught it or not.
And especially when you play the way Tatum played.
Right.
He's not going to take it easy ever, because that's just not – he was a vicious, vicious man. That's just – there's no other way to put it. Right. And if you looked into his eyes during that Super Bowl segment they had this year, just he looked like a shark. You know how the shark has the blank stare, eyes?
Yeah.
That's the look that Tatum gave. And, you know, that's just the way it is. The only point I would make is I don't think Tatum was doing it. I don't think he ever tried to hurt anybody on purpose. I think he tried to send messages.
See, I'm not so sure about that, Tom.
All right. Well,
I think that he did intend to inflict pain and injury on players.
All right.
You know,
I'm not as old as you, so I'll if you probably know more about him than I do.
I think there are certain players Conrad Dobler, I've mentioned his name before,
yeah,
who actually went out to hurt guys, you know, took shots at
knees. I
heard
about his reputation. Yeah.
You know, and I think that's terrible. It's awful, you know. So it'd
be interesting to get to some of the people that played with and against Jack Tatum, if we could ever talk with them and see what kind of, you know, if
yeah.
he really did take cheap shots, it would be interesting to hear what they'd have to say about it.
Well, talk to Steve Grogan.
Yeah, I will.
I mean, I'm sure that, you know, obviously he wasn't a wide receiver, but he talked to other guys.
Right.
Who,
no, that's a good
You know, and they played them enough to know.
There's a Wednesday with Grogan. There you go, right there.
Yeah.
Jack Tatum.
Okay, so we'll mark that on your notebook and make sure that that's a topic one of these weeks, and then you'll watch it on Patriots Today mm-hmm. with Lori Baranski. So, speaking of things going on, this summer there's going to be a change to Patriots.com. I'm giving fans a little sneak preview. It's front page going to have a little bit different look, different functionality. I think if you're into video, you're really going to like what's going to happen.
How does this affect me? Does it affect me at all?
Only that I think more people will be staying on the site longer and discovering the fine work that you do.
Okay.
You do join Dick for a little while.
So you're just going to, it's going to be more like some of the NFL sites I go to, like they have like things going on, like live, on, like not live, but like video on the site. That
well, yeah, I mean, it's not going to be like Times Square.
Right.
You know, because we don't think, we think, our philosophy with the homepage is we build Patriots.com for the return user. We don't build it for the first-time user so that you come and you're wowed, mm-hmm. but then the second time, all that stuff that wowed you the first time is a distraction
right.
and a pain in the butt because you're trying to get to the stuff you really want to read or look at. So we build it for the return user. That said, it's going to look a little bit more wow. There's going to be some wow things.
So you're jazzing
but,
it up
but not
a
to
bit.
The point where you're just, you know, it's a pain in the ass to get to the content
wow.
that you really want.
Okay.
Wow. Wow.
You're not going to have, like, songs and stuff.
No,
like,
no. That oh, God, I can't stand that when you come to a site and music starts
right.
up. I mean, they don't know where you're opening that. You could be in a library and you're
right.
just trying to, you know, do some work.
The thing, too, about that is not just fans of the team go to the sites. Like, people like me who are digging for information for
right.
a game. And, you know, I don't want to hear the Tampa Bay fight song or whatever it is they have on that website.
Yeah. I mean, now, you could turn down your volume and all that, but I don't have to worry about that
no.
stuff. And, again, that's good the first time, but then after that, it's like,
it's
who
annoying.
Cares? You know? So I'd rather focus on the stuff that's important for fans who come, you know, multiple times a week, or even sometimes fans come multiple times a day.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things we'll do on the new front page is when you go to the homepage, it'll list the things that have been on there since the last time you visited, like the
oh.
recent things added, right. so you'll know what you've missed. You can catch up, because a lot of times we add so much stuff, you know, and
those
the new stuff come
places.
On and pushes it down.
Right.
People don't realize, you know, we get these emails. Oh, you don't have enough stuff up there. Well,
yeah, we had that problem
yeah.
with the combine, that we were writing so much stuff, it was taking stuff off the front page, and we were afraid
yeah.
no one was going to see
you,
it.
You got to do a little digging, get into the news section so you can see all the listings. Don't just rely on the homepage. But we're going to try to help remedy that with the new page. Mensa from the Bronx says, do you think with Ashley Lalee wanting out of the Broncos organization, the Patriots should look at him? I know he was not a hit at Denver, but looking at him, he was a very good player when he was playing in collegiate level. Maybe a change of scenery may be good for him. Do you also think that he would be a good fit for the Pats? By the way, where is Andy today? Andy is on an extended vacation.
And I say no, and the reason I say this is because I watched Lalee quite a bit in college, and he was a man among boys. He was playing BYU, who had no defense, Nevada. He was just – he shouldn't even been in that league. He was just way too good to play in that league. Nobody could cover him. But the problem is, when he got to the NFL, he was skinny in college. You know, I'm expecting him to put on some I don't know what his work ethic is, because he doesn't seem to have gotten any bigger to me. He hasn't put on any weight, any pounds that I thought he would put on to be the, you know, more than just a big play receiver. Basically, I think you're getting a little bit better version of Rashay Caldwell. They already got Rashay Caldwell. They drafted Chad Jackson. I say just use some patience, wait for Jackson to develop. you know, pick up some more receivers next year. I wouldn't trade for this guy. He obviously wants more money.
Well, that's the thing. If the price is right, the Patriots will pick up anyone.
Right.
But this guy, you know, he's coming off, you know, talking his way out of a situation. He's going to want a certain amount of money. You have to give up something to get him because he's under contract.
And, you know, I hate these guys who come in and haven't produced to what they should. So then the Broncos do what they should and go out and get another player like Javon Walker. Because, and then the lease says, well, I want out. Well, if you had been doing your job in the first place, they would have gone out and given Javon Walker $40 million. So don't make it sound like, you know, they're crapping on you and all this. You haven't gotten the job done. So shut up and be the number three, because that's what you are.
Yep. All right. Well, listen, that's going to be it for this edition of PFW in Progress.
All those types of things.
And Doug is still
so
going on.
Yep.
And kind of reinstill
right.
my confidence.
We'll be here next Wednesday. Remember, if you want to download us on iTunes or anywhere else, you can. We're in like 65 in the top 100 right now.
Make it to a Pro Bowl.
Up that rating, subscribe, and we'll talk to you next Wednesday.
Pro Bowl. And like you said, Eric Molds, I tell you what, it was a fun year. Throw the ball up to Eric. He's one to throw the ball up to Eric. And that it was a great group of guys in Buffalo that I played with. A.J. Smith and John Butler brought me there and gave me the opportunity to get back into the NFL. And at that point, I was saying, okay, I'll go give it a shot. I was ready to pack after 20. And I said to my wife, I go, I'll give it 2 years. But here it is 8 years later.